hello, family. Welcome to another episode of The Pulse. I'm your host today, Shay Wilbur, the media director for all things Open Door Church and Troy Brewer Ministries. I'm filling Pastor Troy's seat, which is a big seat to fill. And I wish he was here, to be honest. We miss him so much. He's been traveling like crazy. And I'm thankful for all of you who are joining us today, who have decided to join us today, take time out of your day to be a part of The Pulse. And this is a prophetic show. And today is no different. Just because Pastor Troy isn't here, we believe that his anointing, the mantle is still here. And not only that, not only do we have Pastor Troy's mantle that is here, but we have another major prophetic voice that is here. And one of my favorite people on planet Earth, I can say that because he's actually my father-in-law, the one and only Paul Wilbur. Yay, he'll be joining us in just a few moments. Where's the crowd cheering? There we go. We got a whole crowd of like thousands and thousands of people that are watching online that maybe you guys are cheering in your own homes. But we're going to be talking to him in a little bit about all things ministry, life in ministry. We're going to talk about Israel. We're going to talk about the prophetic. So if you have any questions about any of those things, or maybe there's something that you always wanted to ask a music minister or Paul in particular, now's your chance, guys. Send us your questions, and we've got a whole team of people that'll be grabbing those. And before we get to all that, we're just going to give you a quick ministry update because there are so many things happening in the house. Pastor Troy has been all over the country traveling. Actually, I mean, international as well. And he has been, let me just recap a little bit. He's been at BlurryCon. So if you were, hey, give us a shout out. Let us know in the comments if you got to see him at BlurryCon. Either you were there or you watched online. First of all, look at this setup. This looks crazy. Look at those chairs. He's going to come back wanting one of those chairs. I'm just calling it now. Tony Merkel was there. A ton of our friends and ministry partners. I think we have a picture of him with Tina. Do you have that one with him and Tina Pugh and her husband? It's Pastor Troy, like in the middle. Yes, we love Tina. I love both of them. They're so great. So anyway, he had so much fun there. And then he went to Mario Murillo's tent revival. Mm-hmm. He was there. And then after that, there's Mario. Pastor Leanna's been traveling with him too, which is really cool because they've kind of been on opposite sides of the world lately. And so it's been nice. And he's been so happy. You can tell he's smiling extra big because Pastor Leanna's traveling with him. And then tonight he's actually in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania at Philip Thornton's church, Legacy Faith Church. And he's going to be speaking there this evening. So if you're in that area, you're in luck, go check him out. You can go on, just search Philip Thornton, Legacy Faith Church, if you want information and details on their service times and all of that. And of course, all of these events, we're going to be getting the footage of anything that they are going to give us access to, and we will load it up on odx.tv. So if you missed any of that, you can check back on odx.tv in the coming days, and that will all be loaded up there if you want to catch what the Lord was saying and speaking through Pastor Troy on the road over the past week or so. Speaking of, well, actually, let's do some shout outs first to all the people that are joining us, right?
Yeah, so we got Sarah Spencer from here, from Burleson. We got Alabama in the house. We have Alberta from Canada. I know people are still tuning in from all over the world. Mm-hmm. We got Kansas in the house. We have, I believe we have Uganda in the house. Ooh. So wherever you're at, don't forget to put where you're from and where you're watching from. And we might be able to give you a shout out throughout the show. Don't forget that when you comment and you share, this is what we call here in-house media missionaries. We are able to be the hands and feet of Jesus all over the world. We have the opportunity of sharing the gospel, the good news through media. And what a, what's the word? I'm forgetting my words right now. What an opportunity to be able to do that through one camera, through this camera,
I know,
worldwide, and we're able to preach and be the hands and feet of Jesus. So don't forget to share, to comment, because you don't know who might be watching a different day that they might be needing this word for a time as this. So I'm excited for today's show.
I know. You've been wanting to have Paul on. Every time we've had an opening and Pastor Troy's on, she's like, what about your father-in-law? What about your father? And I'm like, he's out of town too.
Out of the country. And I think it's very important just to, I mean, a lot of people know of him. They don't really know him. And I don't really know him. I'm barely getting to know him.
Yeah.
But I'm very eager just to ask questions of ministry, family,
and
overall the calling that God has put over his life. And it is an encouragement for those watching that maybe you're, maybe fear or doubt, and God is calling you to step out. What are some things that Paul, what did God encourage Paul and in the Bible to do? And it is an honor to hear that and to hear his testimony. That's why I've been wanting him to be here. So
I'm excited. Well, your prayers have been answered today. I know. Okay, so let's listen. We've got a couple things. I want to get to just a couple announcements really quick before we roll into it and bring my dad on here. We've got some really exciting events coming up. First of all, this Wednesday night, right here in the house at Open Door Church, we have Pastor Ryan Johnson is going to be joining Pastor Troy, and it's going to be an incredible time. He's a ministry partner of ours and a great friend, and he's also just fun, him and his family. I got to hang with him a little bit this past Sunday because they were in town, and we're excited to have them. He's actually going to be on the podcast tomorrow as well. Mm-hmm. So make sure you tune into the podcast tomorrow. Also, ODX Weekend is November 15th. That is like, what is that? A week from this Saturday.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks.
That's crazy. It's going to be so good. Brian Schwartz, Joseph Z, Pastor Troy, Alan DiDio, Tony Merkel, and Darren Stott are all going to be here in the house to watch the very first episode of our show, The Counter. We're premiering it exclusively for our ODX family that weekend. And if you're like, maybe this is your first time watching us and you're like, who are these people? What is this show about? I'm going to show you a little sneak peek. Take a look at this.
We have spent two full days filming here, guys, and now we're going to begin the editing process. But the unedited version, guys, is going to be camped out at ODX.TV. Nations going against nations.
What we're seeing actually unleashed on the earth right now.
It's this hopeful expectation.
But something charging directly at us.
Anytime the name of Jesus was mentioned, these beings would flee in terror.
Bell worship, sex magic, human trafficking, pornography. It's actually all a part of the very same things. And friends, we are not afraid to talk about it.
Boom. We are not afraid to talk about it. It's going to be so good. We're going to actually premiere the show, and then we're going to have a live Q&A time with all of those prophetic voices. We're going to have a time of prophecy and ministry. It's going to be so great. And it's exclusively for our ODX.TV family. So if you're joining us for the first time and you're new to all this, go to ODX.TV, check it out. It is our ministry platform where we have tons of media that you can access 24/7. And there are different stages of membership. There's just a regular stage one membership, stage two, stage three, and lifetime. And when you partner with us in that way, when you join us as a stage two, stage three, or lifetime member, your funds, that goes towards helping us do what we do in the world. And what we do is rescue kids. Pastor Troy and Leanna have rescued over 11,000 kids in the past 30 years, way more than that, actually. That's just since they started counting. Have over 50 safe homes all across the globe. And we do this. We do all of this. Pastor Troy's on the road traveling, Pastor Leanna all the time, so that we can rescue more and more kids and we can say yes to more and more kids. So when you partner with us at ODX.TV, you are helping us to go to the nations, to truly do that. And my father-in-law who's here, he says all the time, whether you go or whether you send, the reward is the same. So thank you to every single person who partners with us. And Pastor Chris, on that note, we have a bunch of new ODX.TV partners.
Very special thank you to our three new, just this week, three brand new lifetime partners, Angela in Texas, Marty in Pennsylvania, and Jeremy also in Texas. Thank you guys so much for seeing what God is doing and how God is using Pastor Troy and all of us here at Open Door to rescue children all over the world, as well as rescue the rescuers. Thank you guys so much for joining part. But we also had last week 11 stage two partners.
Wow.
We had Karen, Connecticut, Cynthia in Florida, LaDonna in Oklahoma, Robbie in the UK, Carol in California, Linda in Australia, Amy in Texas, Sylvia in New Mexico, Brandon, Jeanette, and Whitney all from Texas. Thank you guys so much for joining our ODX crew. Hope to see some of you guys at ODX Weekend.
ODX Weekend, let's go.
And then finally, we also had two third stage partners.
Wow.
We had Tony from Arizona and Bezem, oh my goodness.
I know. I saw that. I was like, good
Bella
luck.
Zema from Utah. If I said that wrong, throw it in the chat. Just let me know how to, you know,
let him know how to pronounce it.
But thank you guys so much. You are truly helping us make a difference all over the world. We're grateful that we get to do this every single day. Like Shay said, we only do this so that we can do that.
Yeah. And so, you know, as you heard us just mention, ODX Weekend, if you join us as a stage two or stage three partner, you will then get an invite to our ODX Weekend. That's how you sign up. And it's actually completely free. And this is one of the things that we do a couple times a year for our ODX family. So but you have to be a member of our ODX family to get that invite. So join us on ODX.TV if you haven't already. You can also call the number 877-413-0888. If you have more questions about all this and just want to know more in general, that's also the number that you can call. If you need prayer, it's a 24/7 prayer line. It's also where you can call if you want more information about the ministry that we do all across the globe. And I'm going to talk to you in just 1 minute. We're going to show a video of one of our latest rescues named Maria, and her story is so tragic, but also so redemptive, how the Lord has used us to step into her life and really just change her life forever. And she's a part of our family now, and she's just one story of thousands. And when you partner with us, you know, her story is one that you'll be able to say, hey, I played a part in that. I played a role in that. So why don't we just play that video? Why don't we roll Maria's rescue story, and then we'll come back, and then we'll bring on Paul in just a minute.
Hello again, friends. Now, this rescue story that I'm about to share is a really tough one. It's all about a precious little girl who survived the unimaginable, and she lived to tell about it. And because King Jesus is in the business of turning graves into gardens, well, her redemption is about to shake hell itself. This is the story of Maria. Maria, her mother, her father, and her four-year-old brother lived in Colombia. So her mom decided that she was going to take her and her four-year-old little brother to go visit family over on the Brazilian side of things. Now, the house that they were staying in was actually broken into that night, and three men assaulted Maria and killed her brother and her mom. In the midst of them murdering them, she got up out of the house and she ran away. They chased her down the street, they assaulted her again, and they broke her jaw, they stabbed her, and then they left her for dead. But she wasn't dead. And she got up and she was able to find a nearby village where people found her. They took her to the hospital, and as soon as she recovered, she went with the police and actually identified the men who attacked her. Now, her father came over from Colombia to Brazil as soon as he heard about it, but he was quickly aware that he was not in any kind of position to be able to take good care of her. See, her case was very high profile. It was front page news all over Brazil, all over Colombia, and she needed to be kept somewhere safe and secure. Well, my friends, that's where you and I come in together. Now, the authorities reached out to us because of the reputation of our safe homes, and they asked if we could take in this sweet 9-year-old little girl by the name of Maria. And of course, we said, yes. Now, here's the kicker. Her father was devastated to give her up, and here's what he actually said. He said, quote, "She's a miracle from God, and I want her to be raised by God's people to be able to find her purpose." You know what? This little girl is a miracle. She doesn't wear the scars of what she's been through. This smiling little girl is actually being a little girl again. And we cannot wait to see the testimony that her life is going to be. Friends, I want to tell you, this is why you and I have to step up. This is one story out of more than 11,000 stories that we have. And the numbers are growing daily. When you stand up with me and when you partner with me, this story also becomes your story, a story of redemption, a story of hope, a story that proves that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. I want to invite you to call us. Simply call 877-413-0888, or you can go to troybrewer.com and just say, "Pastor Troy, I want to stand with you. I want to help Maria, and I want to help all the other Marias that are out there within the future." You can call us again at 877-413-0888 and simply say, "Pastor Troy told me to call you," and to say, "Not on my watch."
Well, that's one story of many. And if you are new here and you've never seen anything like this from anyone, listen, we have more of these on our YouTube page and many more on odx.tv, many more rescue stories. And this is something that we've really kind of amped up over the past year and a half, is just telling these stories, because there are so many and every single one is just so incredible. It's such a testimony of God's goodness. So if you want to sow into what the Lord is doing here, call 877-413-0888. You can also scan that QR code. You can also go to troybrewer.com and click on give. You can also do snail mail to P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas 76097 at any time. All right. Well, I think it's 1:16 now. I feel like we got to get into it. We got to bring on my dad. But first, let me just give him a proper intro. He is family, but he deserves a proper intro. Amen. So joining us today is Paul Wilbur. He's a worship leader, a Messianic Jewish minister, a global pioneer who's been seeing miracles, signs, and wonders for over 50 years. He is a friend of Pastor Troy's. That's actually how I got connected to all this, because They were friends. He's a friend of Pastor Troy's and part of this tribe. And he's a voice that carried the presence of God to nations around the world. And right now, one of his main things that he is doing is are these I Stand With Israel events all over the country and across the globe. It's something that I'm actually involved in with him. And here's a little sneak peek at that. And when we come back, he will be joining us. So watch this.
But we're going state to state to state to state to see a shift of those who are not ashamed of the God that they say they love.
That the Lord would protect Israel, protect our people, that he would actually have this great revival that will happen all throughout the Middle East.
We have to learn how to reverse the false narrative, and the only way you can do that is with the truth.
I want people to know when they see me what I stand for. This is not a time to be silent.
This same spirit that is coming against the Jewish people and against Israel doesn't want to just stop with them, but it wants to wipe out any DNA or anything that has connected with the true God of all the earth.
We need to be activated in this time. This is a time of action. I Stand With Israel. Oh, those events have been so incredible, so really moving for me being involved in it. And I know really impactful for all the various churches and Messianic synagogues that we've been to around the world, and especially in the States here. But Dad, it's so good to have you. Paul Wilbur, apostle, prophet,
doctor.
Bishop, doctor, all the things, right?
Babysitter.
Babysitter. Oh, you know what? That's true. That's, to me, one of the most important ones, yeah, actually.
Tell me about it. Those two boys. You know, one of the best things about moving here to Texas has been living real close to the boys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to have to go down after this and let Milo see you because he doesn't know you're here. And he will be very upset.
I love the greeting.
Yeah, I know.
Poppy! So nice.
He loves it. It's been so fun. So yeah, you and Mom have now officially relocated to Texas. Mm. Why did you guys decide to make that move? Because you were in Jacksonville. God had really planted the ministry in Jacksonville for how long? 20 years almost?
Yeah, 28 years. Mm-hmm. And that's another whole story. But it's the way we've lived our lives. We live our lives moment to moment on what is God saying now. Mm-hmm. And so prophetic, you know, but this is, I have a hard time understanding why people make decisions on a yellow pad.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, the two columns.
Oh, yeah, with like a checklist.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. The pluses and the minuses. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. Is it really come down to that? Do we hear the voice of God or not?
Yeah.
If we're not hearing the voice of God, that should be a good clue that we're not connected.
Wow.
But
wow.
The connection is simple. Mm-hmm. It's just throw your hands up and surrender. Jesus be Lord of my life. If you're Jewish, you can say Yeshua be Lord of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Same Messiah, different language, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there you go. And the pathways open up. How does Pastor Troy do all the stuff? He's just listening to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's why I love that guy.
Yeah. I know. It's funny because I heard of Pastor Troy from you. Actually, my first semi-encounter with him was when he sent you a pair of socks with his face on it, which now knowing him, that's a total Troy gift. Because I was like, who is this pastor that sent you a pair of socks? And you had to film some video for him and you put a cowboy hat on and you had the socks on. And I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah, it was a birthday or anniversary.
Something
or
like that.
Something.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do anything for Pastor Troy.
So, yeah, I love that you say that because I think so often people are trying to, when making decisions, I mean, we're all faced with different, seasons in life and moments where we have to make a decision. I think so often it's like the world wants you to have that like checklist of like, okay, well, let's figure out pros and cons and then we'll make our decision based on that. But oftentimes God just says go and you just follow.
I was in Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. I've been in a lot of nations this year. It's not to impress you.
Yeah.
It's just what we're called to.
Yeah.
Next week we'll be in Brazil. We're going from Brazil back to Dominican Republic. But anyway, I was in a couple weeks, I'll be 7 years old, 75. It seems, but it's just a number, you know? And lately I've been wondering how long is this train? Where is there a place where it just comes to a halt? And I don't get that at all. And lo and behold, after I finished ministering, somebody came up in another language and said, I have a word for you from the Lord. And I always, filter it through what has God said to me.
Yeah.
What is, what is the word say?
Yeah.
And not just take anything at face value.
Yeah.
Like sell your house in Florida and move to Texas.
Yeah.
I think my son gave me that word.
Oh, yeah. That was by Joel, my husband. Yeah, that was him.
Yeah. So he came up to me and he said, the Lord says this, as long as you say, let's go, the provision and the anointing will be there.
Mm. Wow.
I said, now that's a word. Mm. Mm-hmm. So that's my determination. Let's go. And so when you said, hey, would you like to come to Burleson? I said, let's go.
Yeah. I said, I don't know if you're in town, but because I never know. I mean, I'll see you one night for dinner, and then the next day you're in like Dominican Republic or somewhere across the globe. So I was like, are you here? Do you want to come join us? And it's funny because people ask me all the time, like, is he going to retire? Like, when is he going to retire? I'm like, have you met him? Like, I don't ever see you doing that. As much as you sometimes try to slow down, it's just when the door is open, when God calls you, you just say yes.
You know, yes is a good answer. Mm. And I got that from Genesis 22. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me the other day, we were talking with a minister and something came up like, he said, you know, if I was thrown into prison for the rest of my life, I know who it was. It was a pastor here in Texas. And he said, and they just gave me two books of the Bible I could have for the rest of my life. And he listed out these two. Psalms was one. Mm-hmm. I forget what he said the other one was. Maybe John, the Gospel of John. And I told him, I said, you know what? If I was thrown away in prison for the rest of my life, I just need one page. I need Genesis 22. Everything is there. Salvation, covenant, purpose, destiny, fathering, faithfulness, everything is there in chapter 22. But there's a word that I was going to when I said yes, because every time God speaks, and whether it's out loud or it's that inner voice, I don't know, it doesn't say in the scriptures. But Abraham knew the voice of God.
Yeah.
That's how, that's how Isaac got up on the altar on Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
Because Abraham didn't tie him up and then drag his body up on top. He taught his son how to hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
And that when God speaks, no matter how bizarre it might be, your answer is this, Hineni.
Yeah.
And so through the whole chapter of Genesis chapter 22, it starts off with the first verse. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. What is God testing? He's testing Abraham's yes.
Wow.
He's testing his hineni, because there comes a point in time, Isaiah 58, when Abraham's going to need help. And he said, God says, you'll call on me. And my answer to you will always be yes. Mm. If your answer to me is yes, you can put it in the bank. Whenever you call on me, my answer to you is yes. That's covenant. Mm. That's something is provoking and is life-giving. Mm-hmm. And it's the assurance that when he calls you and sends you or whatever, it might be across the street, it might be to pick up the phone to a family member that thinks you're a crazy Christian, yeah. and whatever it is. If ours is always yes, Hineni, his promise, Isaiah 58, whenever you call on me, my answer to you is always yes.
Has there been a time that you felt God clearly calling you to do something, but you had a hesitancy, whether it was fear or just doubt? Has there ever been a time, or have you always just truly?
Well, that's a tricky question, because I'm just quoting Genesis 22 and covenant and friendship and all that, and hearing the voice of God. And
yeah, but still sometimes you hear the voice of God, but you're like in the flesh, that's going to be hard, or that's going to be a little scary, or that just, there's that wrestling with your, just like human self.
Yeah. But what you come to at the end of that wrestling match, whether it's 2 seconds or 2 days or 2 years, determines how far and where you're going to go.
Yeah.
So sure. I mean, there have been times, how about this one? How about this one? Speaking about scary.
Yeah.
I was born again 3 months, sitting in church, backing up the guy who led me to the Lord, who was from Odessa, Texas.
No way.
Yeah. And he was leading praise and worship. I'm sitting behind him playing my guitar. I don't know Genesis from John. And is Genesis a guy? No, it's beginnings.
Yeah.
So in walks this girl, sits on the front row. And that's all I remember about that, the rest of that service. So a year later, I married her. But in the midst of that, there was a courting time and a do-do-do, and this is the girl, and man, this is exciting. And then I bought a ring, and I kept it in my socks drawer for weeks, because all of a sudden, when I saw that ring, it was like choke time.
Oh, my God.
And my excitement about being married to the girl of my dreams went out the back. It took me a little while to get over that. Mm-hmm. And, boy, I hope, Luann, if you're listening, dear, I'll take you to a nice place tonight for dinner. But we've been married 47 years, and it's been
a dream. Had just come from the world, so like it's not like you weren't raised. I mean, for years, I mean, I've seen pictures of you from college, and you were not, you know, leading worship in college. Like you have a test. That's part of your testimony, part of your story. That like. You were the party, or you were kind of a wild child. And so here you were radically saved. God gave you a literal angel, like in my mother-in-law, Luann. Yes. Like she is the closest person to Jesus that I've ever met besides Milo. Besides Milo. I always say that.
Milo is
the closest person to Jesus. Oh, Milo and Luann, for real. And so, but no, she's just like this angelic. She just is. She's so pure. And so it doesn't surprise me though, knowing like, you know, what you came from, and God was like, okay, this is who I have for you. This is your wife. And then,
you know what I was afraid of? I was afraid that I would not be able to have a long-term faithful relationship. Yeah. That was my experience before I got born again.
Wow.
And that's what I was afraid of.
Wow.
That this would not be, that was a part of when I came to know the Lord, I had a personal encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. He walked with me along a riverbank in Bumpus Mills, Tennessee, on a fishing trip that I didn't want to go to with this Baptist and a boat from Texas.
With one eye, right?
Yep. What?
Wow. One-eyed Baptist. Yep. Yeah. It's true.
Yep. Jerry Williams. God bless you, Jerry, if you're listening. He had an assignment. Yeah. I was his assignment.
Yeah,
you were. On that day at Bloomington, Indiana, I was going for a master's degree in music.
Yep.
He just locked onto me like a tick. You got a lot of ticks here in Texas, right?
Yeah. Hopefully tick. Not.
And invited me to go on a fishing trip. I didn't even know this guy, and I said yes. The first night we were there, way out in the boonies, and the movie Deliverance had just come out. I mean, it was spooky.
Yeah.
And you go out in those woods and you hear banjos. I mean, it just happens, you know?
Yeah.
And there's bows and arrows everywhere. Anyway, for those, it's probably too old for most of the people listening. But anyway, I walked that first night. I sat in a room with him. Jerry shared his testimony with me. And I remember thinking, if God forgives him, surely he'll forgive me.
Wow.
I'm a Jew. He's got to forgive me. I'm sure it's in the book somewhere.
Yeah.
And Jerry shared his testimony with me, and that was my assurance. If he'll forgive you, this one-eyed, plastic-toothed guy from Texas, surely he'll do something for me. One of my greatest fears about Jesus and the kingdom and salvation is you'll never forgive me.
Yeah.
There are things in my past that, listen, I knew enough about the Bible. I spent years in the choir loft at the temple in Cleveland, Ohio. My voice teacher was the cantor at the temple.
Yeah.
Very prestigious.
Yeah.
I sang Hebrew most of the time, a little bit of English, but I knew enough about God to scare me.
Yeah.
But not enough about him to know that he would receive me. But when I heard Jerry's testimony, probably a lot like Pastor Troy's, just this wild background of impossible, you know, can't get out of this prison stories. Yeah. And that was what convinced me. Not only would God forgive me, but he was waiting for me. The next day, I got up super early. Before we went fishing, I went for a walk by the river, and I that same eerie feeling of somebody or something is following me here in these backwoods of Bumpus Mills, Tennessee. And long story short is all of a sudden this peace came over. I knew. Oh, man. Every time I tell this story, that same. And I just knew this has got to be the Jesus that Jerry was talking about. I sat down and I just had a simple prayer. Lord, I believe. Here's my life. And I said this, do with it whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that was 48 years ago, and I'm still doing the same today.
And you never would have, it's so cool to see that, like, you never would have imagined, obviously, that you've been, how many nations have you been to now?
Close to 90, a little over, a little under.
90.
Not really sure.
You have a favorite nation to visit, whether it's like because of the prophetic or spiritual atmosphere or something else? Is there a favorite?
Israel.
Besides Israel.
Yes. Texas.
Yes, the great nation of Texas.
Because that's where my family is.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. Sweet. We got to get the rest of them here.
Yes.
The rest of
we do.
We got to get the rest of them.
But it's it's going to happen.
Yeah. Rebecca, do you have something?
I'm just trying to think of what to ask. I've written a couple here, but have there been seasons where you had to wait for years for breakthrough, and how did you maintain faith during those times?
Well, faith for a breakthrough, first you have to have a purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a breakthrough, it means that you've got a promise. There is a scripture in Zechariah chapter 9. It's that word that's used in the Hebrew, two different words for the same. Remember, Rahab was the prostitute who hid the two spies, the two Israelite spies, when they were coming into the land. And so after she hides them on the rooftop and takes care of them, she says, okay, look, we know that your God has given you this city. How did she know that? Well, the fear of the one true God had overtaken the city of Jericho, and they know their time is short on the earth. She says, look, I've been good to you, so give me a promise that when you come and take the city, that you'll show the same kindness to me. And so there's a word that is used. They say, put this rope out your window. And it was a certain color. It was a crimson color, like the drape that hangs in front of the Holy of Holies, kind of a fire thorn red, orange red color. They said, take this rope, hang it out your window, and then get your whole family in here. And when you do, when we come to the city, we'll notice that because there's a promise on that rope. And anyone that's a prisoner to this room, this apartment, will be safe. Wow. But the interesting thing to me is the Hebrew uses two different words for that rope. Before there's a promise on it, I just saw this the other day.
This is crazy.
So cool.
Yeah.
The word for that rope initially is called a chut, and it's just a common piece of thread. Throw away, you'll never notice it. But once there's a promise on it, it becomes a kavah connected with the word tikvah, the hope.
The hope.
And it's just like our lives, that before there's the promise of God on it, it's a common throwaway, going to be thrown into the fire. Jesus even said, you gather that chaff and you throw it in the fire. But then there's the wheat that's gathered and it's brought into the barn. So interesting to me that our lives,
that's so good,
before there's that promise of God on it, is just throwaway. And you think sometimes, don't you, what people would think, well, this is all there is. There's no life beyond this. And so live it to the full and whatever it is. What a waste. Because the truth is, there is life beyond the grave, but we get to choose where that's going to be. So, but because we have that promise of God's salvation, amen, of when he comes to destroy it, which is the day of the Lord, and it's coming soon, amen, better get ready, then we become that kavah, that rope with a promise, of salvation. And all that we gather inside that room, that apartment of promise, are saved. That's why we travel the nations. We're not trying to tell people about heaven.
Yeah.
We're trying to take as many people with us as we possibly can.
So good.
That's so good.
So if you had to, when you look back at like your career in ministry, is there any like particular moment that you would like, I would love to relive that moment?
You know, honestly, there are so many. And the funny thing about it is that while you're in the midst of living it, there may be some kind of a cocoon that's shielding you from the impact of it.
Yeah.
And you don't realize, like the making of Shalom Jerusalem, which I still hear in dozens of languages all over the world. We made that in 1995.
Wow.
But while I was on the platform in Jerusalem making the first Messianic Jewish recording in Jerusalem ever in history, with an orchestra, a band, a choir, I mean, just the most amazing, amazing thing. I was so intent on not messing it up. I couldn't really enjoy it.
Wow.
So now when I go back, it's like, oh, I wish I could have just relaxed into that. But those recordings, four live recordings in Israel, in Getty, the Dead Sea, downtown Jerusalem, and then a couple, actually one here in Texas. But those, there have been moments where I saw miracles happen in other people's lives that just took my breath away. I remember one was in Denver, Colorado, leading worship, and it was loud and it was boisterous. It was one of those, you know, fun times. And all of a sudden, down at the front of the platform, this young teenage girl is shouting, "It's like stereo. It's like stereo."
Oh my goodness.
And she was making such a ruckus. I just stopped her. We had a band and the whole thing. I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Excuse me. What are you talking?" "I can hear." Her ears opened up in the midst of this.
Praise
the Lord. You know, it's. And people standing up with braces on their legs and walking and, you know, the cool stuff. But the thing that impresses me so much, and I've always asked the Lord, take me out of the equation. I want you to get all the glory. So, you know, I love the prayer lines and the falling out and all that. But the temptation for people to say, he healed me, she restored me, it's no. I can't add one breath to the length of my life. God has designated for me a certain number of these. And when the number's up, I don't care what the number is. He knows. Then that's great. I get to go someplace better for something better. But I want him to get all the glory. So whatever you're doing, do it on your own. I don't want people to think that I did something.
Yeah.
My job is to invite, to host, to steward the presence of God and give him space to do whatever he wants to do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Your yes is amazing. You know, we talk about that like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you hear Pastor Troy and Pastor Leanna say it all. You know, they just started with yes in their spirit. And it's amazing when you just said yes and watch what God did.
Yeah.
I'm curious where that turn kind of happened. Like, you get saved, you're playing, and then when did God kind of bring like a heart for Israel and music? I mean, you already kind of had the music bend rolling for you. But when did that kind of like all of a sudden shift to, hey, I'm going to make music for Jesus and the Messianic community?
Well, Jewish father, non-Jewish mother, a couple years at the temple in Cleveland. But I heard all those years prior, my dad, I called him the reluctant Jew. He grew up, you know, his teenage years was the Holocaust years of Nazi Germany. He flew a B-17 35 times over Nazi Germany to destroy the destroyers, and he never wanted to be known as a Jew. One of the last words that my Orthodox Jewish grandmother said to me, I remember in a nursing home, I told her what I was going to do with my life, and she said to me, Paul, leave the Jews alone. That's the last thing she said to me. So when I got born again, my Jewish DNA came alive. All of a sudden, what I had heard was just not important or something to walk away from because you grow up with a target on you. And although I never experienced any real anti-Semitism growing up, a little bit here and there, but you know, nothing to turn me off. It was just, okay, I am who I am, my DNA, I didn't get to choose, so this is what I'm stuck with.
Yeah.
But when I got born again, all of a sudden, this voice rose up inside of me to the Jew first, and I've made you for a purpose. And so from the very first moments that I gave my life to the Lord, I picked up my guitar, and the music that I had studied all of my life, since I was 9 years old, I had guitar lessons. My dad was a violinist. I went to undergraduate school to get a degree in vocal music. And then I moved to Italy to study privately opera, and I wanted to be a cantor, a traditional cantor and an opera singer. Most people don't know that the real Orthodox Jewish liturgy of Eastern Europe is very operatic. It takes real study and a gifting to be able to pull it off. And that's the direction that I was going. Then I went and taught music for 2 years in high schools in Cleveland, Ohio. Then I went to graduate school to do a master's degree, and that's where I met Yeshua, the cantor of cantors, the rabbi of rabbis. And from that moment that I said, Jesus, be Lord of my life, or here's my life, this destiny and this purpose came alive in me. And so the music that you heard from Integrity Music that I made for with them nearly 30 years was written in those early days of being born again from the Psalms, from the prophets. And it didn't sound like country folk music. It was pulling out of the DNA that God had placed in me, and it's been my voice ever since.
Yeah, it's iconic. It just is.
Yeah.
Like that genre is iconic.
Yeah. Well, it's Holy Spirit breathed. Like it's because there wasn't really anything really before you, and my dad was another one of the trailblazers when it came to messianic music, but that wasn't really a thing. It was Second Chapter of Acts. It was Keith Green. It was, you know, Amy Grant, like all those OG, like early Christian music. And then here came these messianic guys that were, you know, singing from the Old Testament and incorporating Hebrew and all that. And it just, it truly was. I mean, I feel like people ask me similar questions sometimes when it comes to like, okay, well, what's your, you know, why do you incorporate this messianic stuff, or why do you incorporate the Hebrew? And it's like, well, it's just in the DNA of who we are and who you are. And you, it probably wasn't even an intentional thing where you're like, okay, I need to write songs that sound Jewish, but also about Jesus. Yeah. It's like, no, it's from the overflow of your identity and who God has called you to be.
You know, I didn't even know his name was Yeshua.
Yeah.
I mean, I was born again, traveling with this contemporary Christian folk gospel group, Jerry, who led me to the Lord, and another buddy, Ed Carr. We had a group called Harvest.
Yep.
And for the first couple of years, we're singing all Jerry's songs, and I'm writing. And it is good to praise the Lord. Come, let us sing for Psalm 95, Psalm 92, Psalm. And the guys are looking at me like Jerry said to me one day, Paul, write something that we can sing. Why can't we sing this?
You're like, we can all sing this. Well, why not?
It's a minor key. It's not from the New Testament. You need to write something that, you know, Keith Green will sing. Well, Keith Green, Jewish. I don't know why he didn't write more Jewish stuff. But anyway, so
I love Keith.
You know, it just, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. If someone asks me, where does all this come from?
Yeah.
1 John chapter 2, verse 20. John is speaking to believers here.
Yeah.
When he's asked, how do I know what I am and what I did? He said, all of you have received an anointing from the Lord. That's like mic drop right there. All of you have received an anointing from the Lord. Anointing, enabling, power, authority, purpose.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, and all of you know the truth. And then I think it's down in verse 27, he says, and that anointing that you receive from him is, it remains in you. It's not, you said a bad word to that person who cut you off on the highway, but the anointing is not afraid of your momentary flop. Okay. Yeah, repent, go on. I've repented a few times in my life.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I almost had to repent on my way here because I thought I was lost. But I was talking to your husband, my son, on the phone. I said, Joel, get off the phone.
I'm lost. I don't know where
I missed two turns now. It's because of you.
Oh my gosh.
And it wasn't his fault. But that anointing proves to be true. It remains in you. Find out our greatest responsibility as believers, whether you've been in him 2 minutes or 25 years, is to him. What is that anointing in me to do? Because I really believe that when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to get one question. He already, I'm already in thankfully, standing there, this is the place where you get rewards before the throne. Not the throne of judgment. I'm already in because of the blood of Yeshua. Yeah. Did you do what I told you to do? Did you do what I anointed you to do? And did you fulfill my purpose? There was a moment in time when he he breathed his breath into my being, and I became a living soul. And so that's eternal. That's the eternal part of me. And my greatest purpose in life is find out what was in that breath and do what he's given to me to do. So when people say, how do you do this? I say, it's because I'm stuck. I don't know what else to do.
You don't have a plan B.
This is what I get.
Yeah.
This is it.
Man, when I think about, you know, your legacy and all of that, when you were just on a recent trip to Israel, you posted a video and it like made me emotional even watching it. And I'm sure it made you emotional in the moment. Because what's so crazy about how global your ministry has become and these songs you mentioned, Shalom Jerusalem and Levantate, you know, in the Hispanic communities, and how God has carried this message through you has been really incredible. And we have this video from when you were at the wall in Jerusalem, and this, were they Korean? It was a group of Korean.
Oh, you got that too?
I have that video. We got. I got to show people this because this was just so incredible. You were just there. Set up the video before we watch it.
So a group of us were there in Jerusalem, and we decided to go on to the wall on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So there we are in the right in front of the wall, and I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden this young gal from Korea came up, and she just looked at me and eventually says, are you Paul Wilbur? And, and before I knew it, there was a bunch of people from her church in Korea singing to me my songs in Korean.
Yeah. Gary, play this video. This is, it's so, so precious.
When Messiah comes to take us home, may his grace be found in
you. 목사님 18번이라고 얘기해라.
Favorite song.
This does my heart good.
That's so cool. Have you ever heard it in Korean before?
That was wild. They were Notice they were struggling with the English because they knew it really well in Korean. Asians are amazing. They love to worship and pray. Every church in South Korea has a prayer meeting at 4 a.m. I guarantee you, every church, it is packed, and they are loud and proud.
That's awesome.
Their vocals were gorgeous. Their harmonies were in tune, and you could just feel the Holy Spirit through the, through the video.
There were some religious people walking by saying, no, this is, it's a feast. It's Yom Kippur.
Oh, it was Yom Kippur, so it's, and they more of a somber.
And they said,
Don't tell us.
No.
Don't tell us what to do.
We're singing over you. That was another thing that we got to do while we were there in Israel. We got to sing. We sang over President Herzog and his wife.
Yeah.
We sang at David's Tower. We did a concert there at the Tower of David. It was packed out. People would not leave. A two-hour concert went for 4 hours. I saw and heard Jerusalem singing. We prophesied on October 7th, the two-year anniversary. We were actually on the border with
at,
Gaza.
Like Nova, right? Where the Nova Music Festival happened.
Yes. We were there. We sang over the relatives of those 1,200 that were murdered on that killing field. We sang over them. It was special.
Yeah.
The presence of God was just...
Yeah, we have a video of the moment that I think you were there with a big group and you guys turned towards Gaza and you started making prophetic declarations, right? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, we were on the border on October the 7th. This was
just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, late in the morning. It was the two-year anniversary of the terrorist invasion into South Israel. Mm-hmm. And the Lord impressed me, look, you're here, speak. Don't just pray. There's lots of different kinds of prayer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Intercessory prayer, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of supplication. But there is also the prophetic prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord impressed me, face Gaza and make declarations like Moses and Aaron did to the Pharaoh of Egypt, saying, let my people go. It's not a request. It's a demand.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. We spoke to the Pharaoh of Gaza, and as one group, we said, the God of Israel says, let my people go. And here's the amazing thing. A few hours later, we got the message that Hamas had agreed to let the living hostages go.
That's wild. We actually have that video. We have a clip from that video. So guys, take a look at this. It's not the best audio. This was literally from someone's cell phone, but you can see this moment, which really and truly was so prophetic. Take a look.
We declare and decree to the Pharaoh of Gaza, the God of Israel says,
let my people go.
Am Israel Chai.
Am Israel Chai.
Declare and to decree to these cities of the ancient Philistines, we say to the Pharaoh of the Philistines, the God of Israel says,
let my people go.
We declare it today. Let my people go. Says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Today.
Oh, I wish I was on that trip. That looks so incredible.
Did you hear those explosions?
Yeah, the whole time there was explosions. I mean, you were literally right there on the border.
We were.
Wow.
We were looking down into the center of Gaza City.
Mm-hmm.
One, the main Philistine city, there were five of them. And Gath is the other one that you would know. But but Gaza and Ekron and the others escaped me at the moment, but they were laid out right there before us on the Mediterranean, and the Lord said, speak and make the declaration. And literally later, we heard the report that Hamas was going to free the living hostages.
Wow.
It's just so, do
crazy.
What you're told to do.
It's crazy.
Whether it's speaking to that person at the grocery store, or being involved partnering with Troy Brewer Ministries, do what you're
Wilbur Ministries,
if the Lord tells you to do that, do what you're told. When we do what He says, we get His results. That was the secret of Yeshua's life.
Yeah.
How are you doing these things? They kept asking Him. The religious leaders who couldn't do it. How, by what authority? And Jesus just did what He heard the Father say.
That's so good. Never know what your yes will unlock for someone else. And, you mentioned Pastor Troy. I even think, they started out things just thinking, like doing food banks. And so, but because they did a food bank in Costa Rica, that's where they, you know, were presented with the opportunity to buy a child that was someone was trying to sell. And that was literally God opening a door and putting this burden in their heart. Like, I want you to save kids now. And, you know, you're yes, saying yes to the Lord in that moment on the boat with the Baptist. You had no idea how many lives that now fast forward, you know, and you're having people, you can't walk the streets in Israel without being stopped by someone or hearing your music played in the stores in the old city. There are all these stores. If you ever visit Israel in the old city of Jerusalem, you know, stores that are selling trinkets and things like that. And I mean, they are always, many of them are always playing dad's music, but this one store in particular, these Armenians, and they have become friends of ours over the years. One year they invited us to their homes for tea, and they are just the sweetest people. And I'm like, you know, this is all the way across the globe at Israel, and they're just playing your music, and you've ministered to them in so many ways. And I think of, you know, all the songs that you've written, all the things, you just never would have been able to guess that that's what the Lord would have for you. You know, wow. you couldn't have, and if God asked you, hey, what do you want for your life? I mean, you probably wouldn't have even, you know, maybe, hey, doing, I'd like to do music. Cause you probably at that time you wanted to do opera. You thought you were going after this to do opera and become a cantor. You would have probably wanted to be the famous cantor or the top cantor in the country. And it's like, no, God had something else. Let's have you be like a worship leader for the nations. Mm-hmm. You know, that's cool.
Thank you. It helps remind me. I don't stop and think about these things, but I remember one day at Beth Messiah, this little Messianic congregation that I had left the group Harvest to go be a part of, because I just couldn't write songs that the guys wanted to sing with me. And Sid Roth, I spoke with him, and he said, you need to be here. Anyway, too many stories for one afternoon. And I became the cantor there.
Wow.
And I realized one day as I was standing, doing the cantorias that I had learned in Cleveland, singing over this huge Messianic congregation of 50 people.
Fascinating. You know?
Wow. When I left Harvest, we were being invited. We were singing with the Imperials, second chapter of Acts, Bill Gaither inviting us to football stadiums. And the Lord just, every time I would read the Psalms, I'd break down weeping. I said, this is okay, but what about my Jewish people that haven't heard? Mm. And maybe the songs that God is giving me aren't for the stadiums with Bill Gaither. Maybe they're for the 50 in a little Messianic congregation in Rockville, Maryland, and
or the 50,000 in Latin America.
Well, okay,
or the like for real though, because that's the reality of it. Is like you go to Latin America and you're leading worship for tens of thousands. Someone, I just saw a question came through say, ask what's a cantor. A cantor is basically someone in Jewish temples that will sing the blessings, like the person who sings the liturgy, So that's what a cantor is.
Jewish worship leader.
Yeah, Jewish worship leader in like the temples.
Love that.
So Rebecca, we're wrapping up, but you have one final question.
So I have a question. I know we're closing, but what is a piece of advice you would give? I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Gen Z and the next generation of worship leaders about staying faithful to the calling or any ministry and anyone entering the ministry.
Yeah.
What piece of advice would you give them?
Sure. Well, it may sound cliche, but it's very simple. Stay close to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
The word that has just so moved me, John chapter 5, Yeshua said, I only say what I hear my Father say.
Yeah.
And John 14, he went about doing what he saw the Father doing.
Yeah.
If you're confused, if you're not sure where to go, what to do, how to grow, stay close to the source. Stay close to Yeshua. And he will lead you day by day. It's his promise.
Yep.
It's what turns our worthless cloth into hope for a generation.
Yeah.
Amen.
So good.
That's so good. Well, thanks, Dad. Thanks for joining us. It was so good. We had a couple of requests asking you to sing. So next time we'll have to have you bring your guitar.
And when Troy's here too, because Troy's never here.
How fun would it be to have both of them with their guitars too?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
It could be fun.
Let's do it.
It could be a party. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be really fun.
I'd just like to be in the same room with him.
I know.
We're ships you're always passing. Ships.
Yeah, you're in one nation and he's in another nation and now you're here. Yeah. But we'll make it happen sometime soon and we'll get you guys on here. But that would be so nice.
That would be good.
That would be a fun thing with the guitars.
We'll write a song.
Okay.
Hey, that would be, what if you wrote a song like live on the Pulse?
A country Texas Jewish song.
Let's do it.
I think we can do it.
That would be so fun. Okay. Well, you guys make sure you stay tuned for that. And of course, if you want any more information about what Paul and the Wilbur Ministries does, go to wilburministries.com and follow him, of course, on Instagram and social media and all the things. He's constantly on the road as well. So make sure you click on his events tab on wilburministries.com to find out if he's going to be near you, because it's very likely, no matter where you are in the world, at some point throughout the year, Paul will be there. So make sure you do that. Again, Dad, thank you so much for joining us. We love you.
Yeah, this was a pleasure.
It was fun. And thank you, everyone who has tuned in today. We'll be right back here tomorrow at the same time with Pastor Ryan Johnson, who's going to be speaking at Open Door Church tomorrow night. But we said, you know what, Pastor, can you come hang out with us on the Pulse for a little bit? And so he's going to be joining us tomorrow on the Pulse. And then we'll be joining Pastor Troy on stage Wednesday night at our service. So you guys, until tomorrow, we call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. We'll see you later, guys.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem, it's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.